Chapter 21. Here Lisbeth began to cry and rock herself again, and Dinah said, "Yes, dear friend, your affliction is great. It would be hardness of heart to say that your trouble was not heavy to bear. God didn't send me to you to make light of your sorrow, but to mourn with you, if you will let me. If you had a table spread for a feast, and was making merry with your friends, you would think it was kind to let me come and sit down, and rejoice with you, because you'd think I should like to share those good things. But I should like better to share in your trouble and your labor, and it would seem harder to me, if you denied me that. You won't send me away? You're not angry with me for coming?"
"Nay, nay, angered, who said I wore angered? It wore good on you to come. And Seth, why donna ye get her some tay? He wore in a hurry, to get some for me, as had no need, but he donna think o' getting tea for them as wants it. Sit ye down, sit ye down. I thank you kindly for coming, for it's little wage ye get, by walking through the wet fields to see an old woman like me. Nay, in got no daughter o' my own, ne'er had one, and I warna sorry, for they're poor queechy things, gels is. I allays wanted to ha' lads, as could fend for theirsins. And the lads I'll be marrying I shall ha' daughter Zeno, and too many. But now, do ye make the tay as ye like it, for in got no taste I my mouth this day it's all one, what I swaller it's all got the taste o' sorrow wit." Dinah took care not to betray that as he had had her tea, and accepted Lisbeth's invitation very readily, for the sake of persuading the old woman herself to take the food and drink she so much needed after a day of hard work and fasting. Seth was so happy now Dinah was in the house, that he could not help thinking her presence was worth purchasing with a life in which grief incessantly followed upon grief. But the next moment he reproached himself it was almost as if he were rejoicing in his father's sad death. Nevertheless the joy of being with Dinah would triumph. It was like the influence of climate, which no resistance can overcome. And the feeling even suffused itself over his face so as to attract his mother's notice, while she was drinking her tea. "Thee mayst well talk o' trouble being a good thing, Seth, for thee thrivest on't. Thee look'st as if thee know'dst no more o' care and cumber nor when thee wast a babby a lying awake ith cradle. For thee'dst delays lie still why thy eyes open, and Adam ne'er ud lie still a minute when he wakened. Thee wast delays like a bag o' meal as can ne'er be bruised though, for the matter o' that, thy poor feyther wore just such another. But thee have got the same look too." Here Lisbeth turned to Dinah. "Reckon it's why being a Methody. Not as I may find in fault why ye for't, for ye have no call to be frettin', and somehow ye lookin' sorry too. Eh? Well, if the Methodies are fond o' trouble, they're like to thrive. It's a pity they canna at all, and take it away from them as donna like it. I could ha' gi'en them plenty, for when I'd gotten my old man I wore worded from morn till night, and now he's gone, I'd be glad for the worst or again." "Yes," said Dinah, careful not to oppose any feeling of Lisbeth's, for her reliance, in her smallest words and deeds, on a divine guidance, always issued in that finest woman's tact which proceeds from acute and ready sympathy. "Yes, I remember too, when my dear aunt died, I longed for the sound of her bad cough in the nights, instead of the silence that came when she was gone. But now, dear friend, drink this other cup of tea and eat a little more." "What?" said Lisbeth, taking the cup and speaking in a less querulous tone. "Had ye got no feyther and mother then, as ye wore so sorry about your aunt?" "No, I never knew a father or mother. My aunt brought me up from a baby. As he had no children, for she was never married, and she brought me up as tenderly as if I'd been her own child. Eh, she'd fine work why ye, I'll warrant, bringin' ye up from a babby, and her a lone woman it's ill bringin' up a caged lamb. But I dare say ye warn a Francie, for ye look as if ye had ne'er been angered I your life. But what did ye do when your aunt died, and why didna ye come to live in this country, being as Mrs. Poyser's your aunt too?" Dinah, seeing that Lisbeth's attention was attracted, told her the story of her early life, how as he had been brought up to work hard, and what sort of place Snowfield was, and how many people had a hard life there, all the details that she thought likely to interest Lisbeth. The old woman listened, and forgot to be fretful, unconsciously subject to the soothing influence of Dinah's face and voice. After a while she was persuaded to let the kitchen be made tidy, for Dinah was bent on this, believing that the sense of order and quietude around her would help in disposing Lisbeth to join in the prayer she longed to pour forth at her side. Seth, meanwhile, went out to chop wood, for he surmised that Dinah would like to be left alone with his mother. Lisbeth sat watching her as she moved about in her still quick way, and said at last, "Ye have got a notion o' cleanin' up. I wouldna mind having ye for a daughter, for ye wouldna spend the lad's wage I find clothes and waste. Ye're not like the lasses o' this countryside. I reckon folks is different at Snowfield from what they are here. They have a different sort of life, many of 'em," said Dinah. "They work at different things, some in the mill, and many in the mines, in the villages round about. But the heart of man is the same everywhere, and there are the children of this world, and the children of light there as well as elsewhere. But we've many more Methodists there than in this country. Well, I didna know as the Methody women wore like ye, for there's Will Maskery's wife, as they say's a big Methody, isna pleasant to look at all. I'd as lief look at a toad. And I'm thinking I wouldna mind, if ye'd stay and sleep here, for I should like to see ye ith house ith morning. But m'appen they'll be looking for ye at Mr. Poyser's." "No," said Dinah, "they don't expect me, and I should like to stay, if ye'll let me." "Well, there's room. In got my bed laid ith little room or the back kitchen, and ye can lie beside me. I'd be glad to hie ye why me to speak to ith night, for ye have got a nice way o' talking. It puts me I mind o' the swallows as was under the thack last year, when they first begun to sing low, and soft like ith morning. Eh, but my old man wore fond o' them birds. And so wore Adam, but they never comed again this year. Happen they're dead too." "There," said Dinah, "now the kitchen looks tidy, and now, dear mother, for I'm your daughter tonight, you know I should like you to wash your face, and have a clean cap on. Do you remember what David did, when God took away his child from him? While the child was yet alive he fasted, and prayed to God to spare it, and he would neither eat nor drink, but lay on the ground all night, beseeching God for the child. But when he knew it was dead, he rose up from the ground and washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and ate and drank. And when they asked him how it was that he seemed to have left off grieving now the child was dead, he said, 'While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me.'" "Apostrophe A, that's a true word," said Lisbeth. "E, my old man wanna come back to me, but I shall go to him the sooner the better. Well, ye may do as ye like why me. There's a clean cap by that drawer, and I'll go I the back kitchen and wash my face. And Seth, thee mayst reach down Adam's new Bible YTH pictures in, and she shall read us a chapter. Eh, I like them words I shall go to him, but he wanna come back to me." Apostrophe, Dinah and Seth were both inwardly offering thanks for the greater quietness of spirit that had come over Lisbeth. This was what Dinah had been trying to bring about, through all her still sympathy and absence from exhortation. From her girlhood upwards as he had had experience among the sick and the mourning, among minds hardened and shriveled through poverty and ignorance, and had gained the subtlest perception of the mode in which they could best be touched and softened into willingness to receive words of spiritual consolation or warning. As Dinah expressed it, she was never left to herself, but it was always given her when to keep silence and when to speak. And do we not all agree to call rapid thought and noble impulse by the name of inspiration? After our subtlest analysis of the mental process, we must still say, as Dinah did, that our highest thoughts and our best deeds are all given to us. And so there was earnest prayer, there was faith, love, and hope pouring forth that evening in the Liddy kitchen. And poor, aged, fretful Lisbeth, without grasping any distinct idea, without going through any course of religious emotions, felt a vague sense of goodness and love, and of something right lying underneath and beyond all this sorrowing life. She couldn't understand the sorrow, but, for these moments, under the subduing influence of Dinah's spirit, she felt that she must be patient and still. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.